Let's then together also read that Psalm 3, which will serve as the text for the sermon of this morning. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of ten thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. In response to the proclamation of God's word, we'll sing Psalter 265, and we'll do that together standing. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the title above this psalm, as we read, takes us with this psalm and places us in David's life. A psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. We read together part of that account from 2 Samuel. Sometimes knowing someone's life circumstances gives that much more color to what they write. For a musician like David, he could pour his life into his music. By the inspiration of the Spirit, he composed psalms that even expressed the attitude of his heart and mind at the time. But even so many years later, we can, as it were, live along with him. And then together with him, we are directed to the God we serve. But let's think back for a few moments about David's life at this time, when he fled from his son Absalom. Just listen for a moment to a listing of the titles that are used in the NIV translation over the chapters prior to the ones that we read together. Beginning at chapter 8, these are the titles: David's victories, David's officials, David and Mephibosheth, David defeats the Ammonites. If we pause there for a moment, we can note that things are looking very bright for David and the nation of Israel. Under the Lord's blessing, the increasing victories have expanded the kingdom. Any tension that may have remained between the house of Saul and the house of David was dealt with when David honored Mephibosheth. When King Hanun of the Ammonites disgraced some of David's men, David sent out his army and soundly defeated them. The Lord blessed David in all that he did. Then we continue with the titles in chapter 11. David and Bathsheba. Nathan rebukes David. Amnon and Tamar. Absalom kills Amnon. Absalom returns to Jerusalem. Absalom's conspiracy. How things have changed. You remember the account of Amnon and Tamar? How Amnon grew infatuated with his half-sister, Absalom's full-sister, Tamar, and raped her. Then he wanted nothing to do with her. He hated her. Absalom wanted revenge. He invited Amnon to a party, and when he was in high spirits, when Amnon was drunk, Absalom had him struck down and killed. Absalom fled while David mourned. When Absalom finally returned to Jerusalem 3 years later, he lived there for 2 years without ever speaking to his father. And when he finally did, Absalom began to set the wheels in motion to turn the hearts of the people from David to Absalom. Nothing but misery in the house of David. Brothers and sisters raping and killing each other. Fathers and children not seeing each other or speaking to each other. Where was the turning point between those two? We skipped over it briefly. It was David's sin with Bathsheba. Now David had confessed his sin of adultery. He knew of the Lord's forgiveness. We can read of that in Psalm 51. And when the Lord took to himself the child of adultery, David could accept that from the hand of the Lord. But then the Lord, in his love for David, even gave them another son, Solomon. But for the rest, David's family life degenerated into more adultery, murder, stealing, deceit, all kinds of wickedness. Until even his own son Absalom tried to steal the throne from him. Beloved, that's where we find ourselves in this psalm. The Lord's own anointed living in darkness, surrounded by these dark troubles. And yet it's in these life circumstances that we still see the Lord's salvation. To summarize the message of the psalm as follows. In his dark trouble, God's anointed prays to the Lord for salvation. First of all, we'll see that salvation is scorned. Secondly, it's sought. And third, it is sent. So in his dark trouble, God's anointed prays to the Lord for salvation. First of all, we'll see that salvation is scorned. So there David was, faced with the rebellion of his own son. For 4 years, Absalom had subtly won over the hearts of the people. He even invited Ahithophel, one of David's closest counselors, to join him in Hebron. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 12, we read, "And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number." And it's no small wonder that David began Psalm 3 with these words. O Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him with God. How they have increased. Many, many. 3 times he uses a very similar expression in those 2 first verses. He's beginning to feel hemmed in on every side. The crowds against them just keep on growing. Now these are not the same foes as the psalmist sings about in Psalm 2. There the psalmist sang about the nations raging, the peoples plotting, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Those are the surrounding enemy nations pressed in on God's anointed ruler. David knew that feeling too. We heard it already. He'd gone out to battle many enemy nations. But the foes he faces in Psalm 3 are of a very different nature. They come from his own people. Even within his own family. Oh, he still had a faithful following. He had his supporters living in the countryside who wept as he exited Jerusalem. But their numbers were comparably small. Absalom had been busy gathering quite a following, even tapping into David's trusted advisors. We learn in 2 Samuel 16 that in those days the advice Ahithophel gave was like one who inquired of God. To lose Ahithophel was to lose a close friend. The walls were closing in. To add to that, on their flight, David came across Shimei, a man from the same clan as Saul's family. It says very specifically in the passage we read. It's only a short time ago that David had honored the household of Saul because of Jonathan. He'd provided honorably for Mephibosheth. Yet here was Shimei of Saul's house calling down curses on him. Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into your hand, into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. You hear, It's not a stretch to consider that the words of Psalm 3, verse 2, also came from Shimei's mouth. There's no help for him in God. David may have been the Lord's anointed, but after everything that had happened, why should God deliver him? Far be it from him. That's how Shimei scorned the Lord's salvation. He followed there along on the hillside opposite them and showered them with stones. There's no help for him with God. So there the Lord's anointed went. David, surrounded by the enemy, enemies from among his own people, scorned, mocked, and ridiculed. Does that sound familiar? The Lord's anointed would endure something similar many years later, only much deeper. To be rejected by his own people. To be spat on, flogged, and scorned. To be surrounded by foes on every side from his own people. Our Lord Jesus Christ could sympathize with David. The crowds around the cross mocked him too. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. That's along the same lines as what David heard. There's no help for him in God. Jesus knew what David experienced. Only our Savior was innocent. He didn't deserve any of this. David may have thought differently about his own circumstances. Shimei knew what buttons to push. The Lord is doing this to you because of what you've done. You deserve it. And that's the way David received it. Let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? After all, look at what misery had come over David's life because of his own sin. We noted that turnaround in the introduction. Life was good, the victories were piling up, the kingdom was expanding, his rule was firmly established. And then everything began to fall apart. All after his sin with Bathsheba. Surely he was to blame for all this misery. He did have it coming to him. It was a mess of his own making. Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. In other words, they didn't say God can't help him, but God will not help him. There is no help. God doesn't want him. That's the way the criminals on the cross scorned the Son of David too. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. David's enemy said to him, God doesn't want him. He deserves it. That's how the darkness can deepen for David. Because those words of scorn are very tempting for our conscience. Because in one sense, for David and for us, they're true. It is a mess of our own making. The dark troubles that we all live in varying degrees, is ultimately what we deserve. We had it coming. We don't deserve any of the Lord's mercy. We have to face that fact. And if we're to listen to the message of our own culture, it's your mess, you clean it up. How despairing that would be for David in those circumstances, and us in ours. Well, perhaps we can't totally relate to David's troubles in this passage, but trouble itself isn't foreign to us. We live in a world broken by sin. We all struggle with our sin. David's sin with Bathsheba is ours in different ways. But yes, then, as we confess in Lord's Day 23, our conscience accuses us that we have grievously sinned against all God's commandments, have never kept any of them, and are still inclined to all evil. Yes, then our conscience may speak the scorning words of David's foes. There's no help for him in God. Do we then despair? We don't deserve it, you're right. May as well give up altogether. What a mess my life is. Not at all. No, we learn from David's inspired psalm because he began with, O Lord. When he spoke about all his foes, his enemies, the many, many that surrounded him, that wasn't in self-pity. It was a lament presented before the Lord, his covenant God. His Lord who made a covenant with him too only a short time ago to establish his house forever. To set a son on the throne of Judah forever. In David's dark troubles, he prays to the Lord, Yahweh, O Lord. That is, for him we could say what Jesus taught us in the New Testament, our Father. That's what we'll see further in the second point when we find that the Lord's salvation is sought. In verse 3, David makes a very strong switch in the psalm. He'd been singing about his foes. They have increased. They rise up against him. They scorn. There is no help for him in God. But you, he says in verse 3. He dares to approach the Lord in covenant prayer because he knows who his God is. That's so critical. If David didn't know with confidence who his God is, he could wallow in his misery and despair. But he trusted God. He knew God differently than the enemies and even at times the temptation of his own conscience. You are a shield around me. There David was, fleeing from Jerusalem because of his son Absalom. When Shimei met him and hurled the stones and insults at him, David had his brave troops on his right and on his left. The eager son of Zeruiah, Abishai, one of those warrior sons, was prepared to just jump at David's command. They wanted to protect their king. Yet David knows, the Lord is a shield for me. He uses appropriate military language for his circumstances. All this battle gear in the world would do nothing were it not for the Lord's protection. Safety to be found with Him is much greater. The word for shield that David uses in our text is not particularly a large shield. You carry it just with one arm. A relatively small shield for a right-hand man to protect his left side. It's not much more than that. But David literally sings, you are a shield for me all around. You surround me with your protection. With you as my shield, there is no spot of weakness, of vulnerability. You are almighty and powerful to protect. And then he continues, O Lord, you are my glory. You are my shield, my glory, the one who lifts up my head. They're like three parallel phrases describing the great character of God. You are my glory means you are the source of my glory and honor. He acknowledges the Lord's sovereign good pleasure. David didn't earn his honor and glory. He didn't become king because he was in such high demand, because he had worked his way up the ladder. Because he had shown himself so competent in the first place. No, you are my glory. I am anointed king. I am received as your servant because of your work, because of your great favor. And that flows over into the next phrase. You are the one who lifts up my head. That's an expression of exaltation. The seat of honor and glory, the royal throne in Jerusalem, was given by the Lord. He took his servant David from the fields of Bethlehem, tending the sheep, and anointed him to serve as king over Israel. Again, he showed there his good pleasure. For remember when Samuel had gone to Bethlehem to anoint the next king, and he had seen all these brothers pass by, brothers who looked like strong leaders, but whom the Lord had not chosen. Yes, would all of this have been left up to man, David could very well still have been in the fields near Bethlehem. You see, beloved, that's the way David prays and will pray, confessing his knowledge of his God. He knows that the mess he's in is partly of his own making. He sees the effects of his own sin on his own household. But he won't despair because he knows his God. He knows the Lord's gracious protection. He knows the Lord's gracious choosing. He knows the Lord's gracious forgiveness. Because he knows his gracious, faithful, covenant Lord, he prays. I cried to the Lord with my voice. In his dark troubles, David prays to the Lord. He doesn't gather his troops around him to give them a little pep rally. He doesn't go out to try to win back those Absalom stole with similar sweet words. He doesn't try to take circumstances in his own hands right away. No, he cries out with a loud voice to his God in prayer. Just as the anointed of God would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is still my God. That's to be our direction. Always prayer word. Trusting in our God as He has revealed Himself to us as a protector, a defender, a restorer, as the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. For, sings David, He heard me from His holy hill. He knows His Lord as the one who hears and answers every cry. It's striking that on His way out of Jerusalem, fleeing from the city of God, where the temple would eventually come to stand, that he sings, He heard me from His holy hill. Even though David is geographically being separated from that holy hill, even though he has no access to it physically, he knows the Lord hears and answers. He prays to Him for salvation. He seeks salvation from the Lord, that God would preserve him from his many enemies. Yes, beloved, it's with confidence in our knowledge of who our God is that we address Him in prayer. Because everything that David longed for as God's anointed, we see fulfilled in the anointed. For the Lord Jesus, by His death, resurrection, and ascension, has made that way open to God. It's in Him that God has shown us who He is in His faithfulness to the covenant, also made with David. We see Him in His mercy, in His justice, in His compassion, in His wrath. He is the revelation of God. The one who knows the Son knows the Father. And when we know the Son, when we truly know the Son, then we have confidence to approach the Father on His holy hill. Christ has made the way open to Him. That's the way the author of Hebrews speaks of it. We may approach God's throne of grace with confidence. We may cry aloud to Him in our dark troubles and pray for salvation. Our Lord Jesus teaches us that here in Psalm 3. He gives us the assurance to do that because He hears. And in many ways, He even answers already now. We'll see that in the third point, the Lord's salvation is sent. There are times, perhaps even most times, that we really have to wait for the Lord's answer. And when it comes to our prayer for salvation, then especially we long for the day of Christ's return. When David prayed for the Lord's salvation, he no doubt also had something future in mind. He boldly sang, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly." Verse 7. Now the tolerant spirit of our age may make us cringe at that. There are those who say, see, there you go again, that violent Old Testament and those vengeful Old Testament saints. But David prays about the Lord's vengeance. He knows that the Lord says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And David knew that in order for him to feel secure, that threat had to be removed. It's not just for the Old Testament. It's the same still. Jesus commanded us to pray too, deliver us from the evil one. That will eventually be the destruction of all the wicked. All those who raise themselves up against the Lord and His anointing. That supposed violence is not only the Old Testament. It's also the New. For God speaks of the weeping and gnashing of teeth of those cast into darkness. As David sings of the Lord's salvation that it would come in power. He acted in His might to bring victory for David and those with him. All of that, David cries out in his prayer. And then, I lay down and slept. I woke again because the Lord sustained me. There are people who would look at David's life as we've seen that described and say, how could he sleep? We hear that and say that ourselves sometimes. And just look at David, fleeing from his son Absalom. Forced to camp out under the stars when he had a beautiful palace to live in. His enemies scorning him, out to get him. Surely he was anxious about how things would develop. What was his son up to? Would he be able to return to his palace? How did his life become such a mess? Who knows what went through his mind? Yet with all that was happening around him, he had laid down. And slept. And he woke again, rested, because the Lord sustained him. How could he? In prayer, he laid it all before the throne of God. Because he knew who his God is, he could sleep in peace. He puts that in a strong contrast in verses 3 and 5. In verse 3 we heard, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. And verse 5, I lay down and slept. Or to give it that emphasis, as for me, I lay down and slept. Because of who you are, my shield, my glory, the lifter up of my head, I lay down and slept in peace. And he woke again. Because the Lord sustained him. He praised the Lord this way when he woke in the morning. It's not just a one-night thing. He had the same certainty about an uncertain future too. I will not be afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. But you see, beloved, how the Lord gave him a form of salvation already immediately. He wasn't weighed down by his cares, burdened by his anxieties. In prayer, he left them with the Lord to receive rest from him. Oh, he didn't have peace from all of his trouble. But he did have peace in all of his trouble. That too is the Lord's salvation. The rest would come later. But in that moment, even in his flight from Absalom, David could sleep in peace. He left it with his God. The Apostle Paul echoes that in his letter to the Philippians. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 verse 6. The Lord sends also that form of deliverance. That's why David can conclude his song with such a confession of assurance. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It can't be found in himself. It can't be found in any man, in wealth, in power, in other gods. Only in the Lord. The covenant God, the I am who I am. It's that peace that can come today that David experienced already then comes in the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's in Him that our covenant God has shown the truth of David's song. Salvation comes from the Lord. Yet that doesn't only mean our justification through faith in Christ. Our salvation from sin and the shedding of His blood. Oh, it comes from that. But in that, there is also something very much today about that salvation. That's really what stands out in this psalm. In his dark troubles, David sleeps in peace, assured in the salvation that's in the Lord's hands. The Lord will look after His kingdom. And David could rest in his God who shields and sustains. Truly, salvation belongs to the Lord. Then his closing words of this psalm spread that out even further. Your blessing is upon your people. This isn't only about me, David says. Oh, our relationship with the Lord is personal, but it's not individualistic. The needs of all God's people are on our hearts and minds. The covenant God has His covenant people. David prays that the Lord would look upon them the same way as He did himself. Brothers and sisters, when we sing this song in the light of what the Lord has done in Christ, our eyes and hearts may be open to how rich we are in Him. Immersed in our present circumstance, in his present circumstances, David could only pray. It was enough to give him rest. We know how the story continues. God was true to his word of the covenant. He preserved David, brought him back to the throne in Jerusalem, delivered him from the enemy, and he set his son, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, on the throne. He's seated there still. What confidence that may give us to continually approach His throne with confidence. We may and must pour out our hearts to the Lord in prayer, seeking His salvation. We know who He is. And rest assured in Christ, salvation belongs to the Lord. His blessing is on His people. Amen.